So since this verse is prose again, it's not written in meter or poetry, so I'll just read the verse and then we'll go on to the word-by-word translation. So, Tato neka sahasrakoti vimanani ka sangula deva yene yane navata atindu mandalama varya brahma sadane nipatati. So you can repeat. Tataha. After purifying the seven planets, of the seven great sages, Aneka, many, Sahasra, thousands, Koti, of millions, Vimana Anika, with contingents of airplanes, Sankula, congested, Devayanena, by the spaceways of the demigods. Avataranti, descending. Indu Mandalam, the moon planet. Avarya, inundated. Brahmasadane, to the abode of Lord Brahma. Atop Sumeru Parvata. Nipatati. Falls down. Translation, after purifying the seven planets near Dhruvaloka, the pole star, the Ganges water is carried through the spaceways of the demigods in billions of celestial airplanes. Then it inundates the moon, Chandraloka, and finally reaches Lord Brahma's abode atop Mount Meru. So purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada. We should always remember that the Ganges River comes from the causal ocean, beyond the covering of the universe. After the water of the causal ocean leaks through the hole created by Lord Brahmanadeva, it flows down to Dhruvaloka, the pole star, and then to the seven planets beneath Dhruvaloka. Then it is carried to the moon by innumerable celestial airplanes, and then it falls to the top of Mount Meru, which is known as Sumeru Parvata. In this way, the water of the Ganges finally reaches the lower planets and the peaks of the Himalayas. And from there, it flows through Haridwar and throughout the plains of India, purifying the entire land. How the Ganges water reaches the various planets from the top of the universe is explained herein. Celestial airplanes carry the water from the planets of the sages to other planets. So-called advanced scientists of the modern age are trying to go to the higher planets, but at the same time they're experiencing a power shortage on Earth. If they were actually capable of scientists, they could personally go by airplane to other planets, but this they are unable to do. Having now given up their moon excursions, they're attempting to go to other planets, but without success. So, Om Ganatya Madandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Meditam Genatasmai Shigurvena Maha. So when we hear the description of these airplanes carrying water down to the other regions of the universe, it's quite a amazing, and there's a word in English, a big word called incredulous. You know, it's just unbelievable. How is this happening? I mean, we have not experienced airplanes like this before, have we? That are carrying large, I mean, not just like a little tanker or something like that, but carrying large amounts of water and then river transport, basically transporting a river. So, it's interesting, this Earth planet, we're very much accustomed to these mechanical, the yantra, you know, the yantra vimanas. That means mechanical airplanes. And there was an interesting experience we had with Srila Prabhupada one time. It was in the city of Dallas, Texas. I had arranged for Srila Prabhupada's reception in the what's called a VIP room. Everyone knows what a VIP room is? No. Very important person room. Like every airport has a VIP, the big airports. I don't know if Nandi has it, but the other big airports have a very important person room where they have receptions, press conferences. You know what a press conference is? Okay. So I had arranged, I had done all the work to go. I went to the press, that is the TV, radio station. So there's a video of this, in fact, where Prabhupada was received by all these reporters with the big TV cameras and the microphones and everything like that. So we were sitting in the room with Srila Prabhupada in the VIP room, and the reporters asked Prabhupada, because Prabhupada had come on an airlines called American Airlines. So they asked Prabhupada, why did you take American Airlines? And, you know, they were thinking that Prabhupada was going to say, well, it's the best airlines in the world or something like that, or it's better than Indian Airlines, which is true. I mean, anyone who's flown on Air India will tell you that for a fact. I just had one disciple who was trapped in India for like 2 weeks because Air India went on a strike. The captains went on a strike, so he couldn't get out of India. So, anyway, so he said, I've taken a... They asked, why are you taking American Airlines? And he said, to be one with you. But to be one with you, you know, in other words, to fit in with the rest of you guys. And then he said, but actually, I could have come by magic carpet. That's an interesting one for us. Because many of us had read these books when we were young. You know, the little children's books where someone travels in Arabia, at least, on a magic carpet. You've heard about this before? Yeah, Aladdin. And also there's this story, 1001 Arabian Nights. I don't know if any of you heard that story. That was an interesting story. This lady, this man, the Sultan, he used to kill his wives after one night. He used to get married one day and kill them the next day. Anyway. So she told him a story for 1001 nights. Anyway, so she escaped death. So if you ladies want to please your husbands, you should tell them stories. So anyway, getting back to the point, this Prabhupada said, to become one with you, and he said, I could have come by flying carpet. And everyone went, huh? And he said, I could have come by mantra, too. And the reporters were just, they didn't even know what to say. When Prabhupada said that, I mean, it's something that was so unbelievable to them, they just let it slide, as they say, and didn't say anything about it. Then they went on to the next question. But it is a fact that the yogis, and of course, Prabhupada, according to Krishna, is the best of all yogis, yoginam api sarvesham, mad gatain antaratmana shadavam pashate yomam, saame yuktatamo mataha. That the yogis, they could travel by their mystic powers. In fact, here we're reading about airplanes, but in Satyaloka and higher, they don't need airplanes. They can just fly in the sky with their mystic powers. And or they can enable other people to fly in their sky with mystic powers. Like you have, Visvamitra Muni. He was able to create a duplicate heavenly planet system by his mystic powers. I remember that also another funny story is that in the 1970s, there was this group called Transcendental Meditation. You probably have them here still in Maharishi. Yeah, you have them here in Fiji. So, and they were advertising. First of all, they were selling mantras. First it started out with $35 a mantra, then it went up to $135 when the market became better. And then they started selling courses in levitation. I don't know if you've heard about this. Levitation means how to fly. You understand? That's the word, levitate. To levitate means to go up. And levitation. So they were teaching courses. You had to spend, I think it was about $600 or $700 to take a course in levitation. And by this course, you're supposed to be able to fly in the air like yogis. So they had some picture, video that they would distribute to to get students. And in this video, it showed someone bouncing on a bed and flying in the air. But any one of us can do that. Just like recently, I was visiting some of my disciples in Seattle, and they had a trampoline in their backyard. You know what a trampoline is? A trampoline is what, a bounce thing, you know, a bouncer. You call it bouncer, whatever it is. And so I was bouncing on it with their children. And they took a picture of me as I was up in the air. And they put it on Facebook. And they, it said, you know, Gurudev has mastered all the mystic powers. You know, he's able, I don't know, some of you may have seen that picture if you were on Facebook. And people were amazed. Some people said, well, it was just Photoshop, you know, just like artificial, you know, computerized adjustment of the photo. But then some people figured out it was just a trampoline. Because we can't fly in the air without an airplane. So another thing Prabhupada said about the mystic power of flying in the air, he said, why should we waste time acquiring these mystic powers? Because we can do it mechanically. I mean, you don't need to like spend 100 years trying to fly in the air, levitate, you know, so-called levitate. And when you can actually just take an airplane, just go to Nandi and take an airplane to wherever you want to go. It's like today we're going to take an airplane, not so nice airplane, but, you know, it's an airplane. One of these little planes to Sabu Sabu. And it will shake a lot, I'm sure. You know, that's the way it is. So anyway, Prabhupada said, why waste time learning these mystic powers? But in the Bhagavatam, you actually find instructions how to get mystic powers. There's a whole section of the Bhagavatam later on that tells you what austerities, what performance, what worship of Krishna you need to do. And so any of you who want to get these mystic powers can do that. You can study Bhagavatam, worship Krishna, a particular aspect or form of the Lord. Or if you want to get gold, if you are a Sony, right, Hrishikesh? If you're a Sony, then what do you do to get gold? You have to learn how to make gold from mercury, like we talked about in the previous class. You drink the mercury and you urinate on the bell metal, and then there's gold, if you don't die. So anyway, so the Vedas contain information for all these sciences. The scientists don't believe this. Now, as far as airplanes are concerned, here we're talking about these airplanes that are carrying water. But there's so many stories of vimanas in the Vedic literatures that are even more amazing than this. For example, in the Ramayana, you have the Pushpaka vimana. You've heard of that before? The Pushpaka vimana. Pushpaka means like a flower airplane. But basically, it was such an amazing airplane. Of course, Ravana was using it. It used to belong to his half-brother, Kuvera. You know that story? No, you don't know that story. Nobody here knows the Ramayana. No Ram Bhaktas here in Fiji. So this airplane was Kuvera's. Kuvera, of course, he's the treasurer. He's like the Madurang of the demigods. Madurang should be called Kuvera. So, right? So Kuvera was flying, and then Ravana, and also Lanka, and Sri Lanka was actually taken away from Kuvera by Ravana. Ravana was very nasty to his brother, Kuvera, like I said, half brother. And so Ravana was flying around this Pushpaka Vimana, and this Pushpaka Vimana was so interesting. It could expand or contract according to the need of those who were flying it. And it flew by the thought process. Like, you didn't need a pilot. Nowadays you go in an airplane and you have like at least a pilot and a co-pilot in case the pilot has a heart attack and you have to have a co-pilot. But this particular Pushpaka Vimana, it flew simply by the wish of the personality who was in control of it. So Ravana would fly all over the place. And of course, he did all sorts of interesting things when he flew all over the place. The only place the Pushpaka Vimana didn't work was when he went to Kailash. Ravana was wanting to challenge Lord Shiva. So he went to Kailash, and then also the Pushpaka Vimana fell down. And then Ravana had to get out and start walking. And then, of course, we know the story that Ravana challenged Lord Shiva, picked up Mount Kailash, and Ravana's 10 arms were trapped under Mount Kailash until he did some prayers for about 100 years. And then he got Lord Shiva's benediction. That's a story from the Ramayana. So with the Pushpaka Vimana was the same vehicle that was utilized to transport Lord Ram after the victory over Ravana, to transport Lord Ram and all the monkeys and all the good Rakshasas to Ayodhya so they could have a reception. So it became so big. And Lord Ram was sitting there showing all the devotees what he had done, all the different places he had passed through as they went to, as they proceeded to Ayodhya. And of course, Hanuman, he could fly without the Pushpaka Vimana because he's Vayuputra. Ravana also had another interesting airplane, and that airplane was pulled by asses with human heads. That's another story. Anyone's heard of that before? No. No Ram Bhaktas. I thought everybody here liked Hanuman and everything. No? Don't know anything about the Ramayana. How can I know more? I read. Everybody here just watches videos. Whatever they know about the Ramayana is from the video series of Ramayana. So Ravana had this airplane. It was basically a chariot that was pulled by asses, you know, donkeys with human heads on them. They're really interesting creatures. So he would fly all over with that too. In fact, that was the airplane that he utilized in his attempt to kidnap Sita Devi. So there's a whole story about that airplane in one of the parvas of the Ramayana, that he parked the airplane, and then of course he assumed the form of a brahmana, and he was able to lure Sita away from the from her shed, and he was able to put her in the vimana, vimana that was pulled by the asses with human heads. And then when he went up in the air, Jatayu attacked them, and Jatayu killed all those asses. Did you know that? He killed all the asses that were pulling the airplane. So the airplane actually was finished. Jatayu destroyed that airplane. And of course, Ravana killed Jatayu with his Chandrahas. What's a Chandrahas? Does anyone know? Anyone know what the Chandrahas is? Here's a sword. It was a sword that could cut through anything. It was like, could cut through metal. A Ravana one time used that Chandrahas on Narada Muni. You know that story? Narada Muni came to him, and Ravana got angry for some reason, and Ravana just like took it. But it just went through Narada Muni. He just kept saying, Narayan, Narayan, Narayan. And Ravana said, what kind of body do you have? You know, I can't kill you. And Narada Muni said, you used to have a spiritual body too. And you'll get one in the future, but you don't have one now. So that's a story from the Ramayana. So Jatayu destroyed Ravana's chariot, this particular Vimana. And Ravana had to carry Sita back on his own power. He didn't need a Vimana because the Rakshasas, they could fly in the air. They're called the Night Rovers. And they were born with the power to fly in the air. In fact, when they were trying to figure out how to reach Lanka, that is, we're talking about Lord Ram and his army, there was some proposal that Bibhishan could teach the Ram's army to fly in the air. But Bibhishan said that's not possible because we Rakshasas are born with the skill of flying in the air. It's not a learned skill. So it's part of being a Rakshasa. So if you want to fly in the air, you can take birth as a Rakshasa. So it's interesting, isn't it? I mean, so many people want to fly in the air, right? And they have the Superman and all these superheroes. You've heard of them before? And then people want to fly in the air. Even when I was young, I used to try to imitate Superman, you know, as one of the heroes. And my mother got me a cape. You know what a cape?
Yes.
With an S on it. And I kept jumping off of chairs thinking I was going to fly, but it never happened. Or people nowadays, of course, people, in order to sort of make believe they're going to fly, they do this thing called skydiving. You've heard of that?
Yes.
They have that here in Fiji, right? People jump from airplanes and eventually the parachute opens up. Or they have this thing called hang gliding. They have that in Fiji? No. That's where you jump off of a mountain and you have these wings on you and you float down to the ground. The hang gliding. One of my friends, for his birthday party, he went hang gliding. A devotee friend. He just went, jumped off a mountain, had a good time. But that's Maya. So those are different airplanes. I was thinking about all these different airplanes like that are mentioned in the Vedic literatures. There's another one in the 10th canto mentioned, which is the airplane of Shalva. You've heard of Shalva? It's a story in the Krishna book. Shalva had a mystic airplane that was something like the airplanes we have nowadays that are that radar can't detect. You ever see these new airplanes? Like the B-1 bomber? You don't know about stuff like this. But it was an airplane that became invisible. He could make the whole airplane invisible. And he started to attack the city of Dwarka. And he was throwing down missiles. You know, nowadays we think we're so sophisticated. We have jets and missiles and things like that. And cruise missiles. And UAVs. You know what a UAV is? No. UAV means unmanned aerial vehicle or drone. You know what a drone is? Those of you who know the news have seen these things. They go overhead and they kill people. The Americans have used them in Iraq and Afghanistan and other places like that. And they go very high and the people are controlling them from, let's say, 15,000 kilometers away. It's like a computer game and then they kill people. Like they say, okay, kill him. They press a button and the missile goes. So in the same way, Shalva Raj, he was attacking Dwarka and his airplane was invisible. Ultimately, Krishna fired some arrows at the airplane and the airplane crashed and Shalva was killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's another example of an airplane in the Vedic literatures, because today we're talking about airplanes. Another example is the story of Kardama Muni and Devahuti. That's from the Bhagavatam too. That Kardama was a great sage, and Devahuti, she was the daughter of a king, a Manu. So she was Kshatriya, he was Brahmin. But because she was so chaste, she followed Kardama Muni in all of his austerities. And Kardama Muni, in order to reward her a nice, pleasant experience before they had children, he created this airplane from his mystic powers. And this airplane had waterfalls on it. Does anyone remember this story? It had waterfalls, palaces, servants, lakes, parks. And it was flying through the air, this mystic airplane. And it was so amazing that it incited the lusty desires in someone if they had it. If they were in the airplane. And therefore, Kardama Muni and Devahuti had a relationship, and as a result, 9 daughters were born. Do you know that story? 9 daughters were born. And then, it was an interesting story in Bhagavatam, because Kardama Muni then said, all right, now you have children, I'm taking sannyas. So she started to leave to take sannyas, and Devahuti complained about the whole thing. She said, there's no one to take care of me, no one to give me spiritual instruction. You have to leave me with a son to take care of me. And then he created, with Devahuti, they had Lord Kapiladev. And Lord Kapiladev instructed his mother, and then he took sannyas. It's interesting. Interesting story in the Bhagavatam. So there was another story of an airplane. There's many stories of airplanes. Another way that, let's say, higher living entities go around the universe is through their different carriers. Not only are there airplanes, but there's animal carriers for different demigods. For example, Ganga Devi has a what? Has what? Crocodile. Lord Brahma has what? A swan, Hamsa. Lord Vishnu has what? Garuda. It's interesting, isn't it? Lord Shiva has what? Nandi the bull. So it's very interesting how, because this whole purport is about airplanes and transportation, how the different demigods and different personalities get around. It's so interesting. But then if you tell the scientists about this, or people who are very much addicted to scientific understanding, they get bewildered. They say, come on, this is just a fairy tale, they say. Because they have not experienced it, neither with their instruments nor with their imperfect senses have they experienced any of these things. They don't believe it. But there's many things we have not experienced. And if you haven't experienced it or don't know the technology for it, then either you don't believe it or you think it's something mystical. Now, for example, here in the South Pacific, during World War II, the different soldiers would land on islands that were, let's say, inhabited by natives who didn't know anything about modern civilization. And so they would land in their airplanes, and the natives would think, it's God. It's God coming down. They really thought that, So they would bring all their offerings, just like we have different temples here. I mean, even in India, you have temples to rats. There's rat temples. Did you know that? Rats, mouse, rats. So people got so bewildered that they saw, the people from America and other places coming down. They thought, oh, God is coming. And they would bring these different gods. They would bring all sorts of food and everything for the natives, and candy bars and Coca-Cola, which destroyed their teeth. And so the people would think, wow, please accept my humble obeisances, God. So even after the soldiers left, the natives would construct replica airplanes. Did you know about this? They'd call different cults in the South Pacific, not here in Fiji. Fiji also, you had a lot of people from coming, but basically they intermarried with a lot of the people here, and you have some mixed races as a result of that. You probably know about that. That's the history of Fiji. So you had these different cults in the different islands, and they made replicas of the airplanes, and they were worshiping the airplanes as deities because of their experience during World War II. So, because they had never experienced airplanes, they didn't know what was happening. So in the same way, when things are beyond our experiencing jurisdiction, that's the language of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, we either think they don't exist, or we think it's something mystical, or we think it's God, or some crazy thing like that. So just because the scientists have not experienced something, and it doesn't give them the right to say it doesn't exist. That's called the inductive process, which is faulty. In other words, induction means that based on limited experience, you come to a general conclusion. That's what the word induction means in logic. Like you see certain things, and you come to a conclusion. Like on the Earth planet, we have not seen any dinosaurs now. All we see are bones. So we come to the conclusion that dinosaurs are extinct, right? But because we haven't seen everywhere on all the planets, that conclusion is not good. It's a faulty conclusion. So that's called induction. So the scientists are prone to that inductive fault, that because they haven't seen something, they think it can't be true. Whereas we have perfect knowledge, because not because we've seen everything, but because we have the descending knowledge coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, we can say things like Prabhupada says in the purport, they're attempting to go to other planets, but without success. I mean, that's also another radical statement that Prabhupada's making. I mean, because we look at the newspaper, of course, nobody reads newspapers. We look at the internet now. There's news. Here in Fiji, you still read newspapers. And it says they've gone to this planet, they've gone to that planet. And that's pretty controversial. It was controversial in the beginning days of the movement. Like Prabhupada didn't take it very seriously. But if you actually have to go to a planet, you have to take on the atmosphere of that planet. I mean, you can go to a geographical location where that planet is supposed to be situated, but because the planet has more subtle things going on in it that you cannot perceive, you can't actually go to that planet. You have to take a proper body to go to that planet, or have the proper karma to go to that planet. So that's what Prabhupada is referring to here. So we should have faith in Krishna's words and Srila Prabhupada's words, even if they contradict what we're hearing from the modern day scientists, even if it appears something amazing like these airplanes going through the sky. The Bhagavatam is perfect. It's completely perfect in its explanations. So any questions or comments about any of these things? Yes, doctor. How do we experience Krishna in what?
In our life.
In our life?
In our lives.
Well, one way we experience Krishna, according to the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, is there's immediate relief from all distress when one becomes Krishna conscious. I mean, if you're chanting your rounds every day strictly, following the regulative principles, then even when distressful things happen, you can deal with it more easily. Like Prabhupada was talking to a psychiatrist. I was just listening to this yesterday. He was talking to a psychiatrist. I think it was in Sweden or somewhere. And Prabhupada was saying the Krishna consciousness of the chanting of the holy names is the cure for depression and all these psychological diseases. So I was thinking about it. How is it the cure? It's the cure because if one chants properly, has the right consciousness, one is able to discriminate between the mind, the soul, intelligence, and the body. It's not that the mind is necessarily pure in the beginning, but one is able to understand he's not the mind. Even though the mind is saying things, he comes to a transcendental platform above the mind. There was even one movie many years ago. I don't know if any of you have seen it, because you don't watch movies here. It was called The Beautiful Mind. Anyone seen that movie? It's about a guy who had some schizophrenia. That means he would see things. He would see people that didn't exist. Can you imagine that? Maybe all of you don't exist. I just close my eyes and you go away. But can you imagine that? You go outside and you start talking to someone who's not there and you actually see him. Wouldn't that be amazing? But there are people like that. I'm sure if you go to a insane asylum, you'll meet people like that. Insane asylum means mental hospital or something like that. So he was seen like that, but then he realized it wasn't real. So even though the people were still there, he was able to discriminate between the mind and the intelligence. This is a material example, but just giving you an idea how Krishna consciousness can put you above these material problems. So even though the mind is saying, I'm crazy, or let's say anger. All right, let's use something much more practical, because most of you are not seeing people who are not there. Does anyone here see people who are not there? No. So most of you are not seeing people who are not there. However, sometimes you get angry. Does anyone here ever get angry? No. Yeah, it's common. So therefore, to rise above the mind means anger is there, but then you're thinking, is that pleasing to Krishna? No. And then you just ignore it. And then it goes away. Because if you contemplate it, then it becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. So when one chants the holy names, then one is relieved from distress in the sense that his consciousness becomes transcendental to the material disturbances, the threefold miseries. That's the first thing a devotee experiences. Other things like happiness, etc., are experienced. The relief from the mode of ignorance. When one follows the regulated principles, then the mode of ignorance is no longer prominent. So there's happiness, there's lightness that one experiences. So that's the first thing. And of course, Krishna in the ninth chapter of the Gita talks about prachaksha vagamam dharmyam, that by direct experience, one can experience Krishna consciousness. So then you begin to feel reciprocation from Krishna in your heart. I mean, you can look at the deities, and the deities actually communicate with you, don't they? I mean, anyone see when the deities are upset with you, they look angry. I remember there was one temple here in Fiji, I won't mention where the deities weren't being taken care of well, and Radharani was so angry, and I was scared to walk in the temple room. And now, of course, they're being taken care of nicely because there's a nice devotee there overseeing things. But previously, there was some problem in this particular temple. So Radharani was just looking down. She wouldn't look at you. She just looked down, and Krishna didn't look too happy. And I better not tell you who the other deities are, so you'll guess where it is. But so the point, you experience that reciprocation within the heart. You get realization. Another way you experience Krishna consciousness is detachment. The same things that you were very attached to before, like the tongue, belly, genitals, mind, anger, and words, are no longer interesting to you. Like if someone says, would you like to go see that Fiji Sevens game? I'm not interested. Previously, you were there cheering all along, like the devotees in the ashram do when we have a championship game. But and now you're not interested. That's a sign of advancement. So these are all signs. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita. Janayati Asu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayada Haitukam. So it makes you happy. When you're no longer attracted to these things, it makes you happy because you're no longer pulled by your nose like a bull. Like Griha Medi means someone who has a nose ring. You know, bull? With a nose ring, and then he's pulled. You know, being controlled by your senses is the most miserable experience I can imagine. You know, you see some food. It's like the dogs out here every morning, we see. Isn't it? We didn't get any rotis for breakfast. And then you get angry. Where's my rotis? What? Yeah, and so when you become detached from that, if there's no rotis, okay, Hare Krishna. Krishna's arrangement. Govinda. Krishna doesn't want me to have any rotis. So that's a relief, isn't it? Because anger causes you so much pain. I mean, does anger make you happy?
No.
It doesn't make you miserable. Your throat closes up and your teeth clench and you start grinding your teeth. Isn't it? People grind their teeth, doctor, when they're angry? You start barking like a dog? So, therefore, those are some of the results that one gets. You know, one doesn't bark like a dog anymore, or salivate like a dog, or fight like a dog. You know, someone else comes in the room, ruff, ruff. He wants to take charge. Isn't it? Like this morning, I was woken up by the dog alarm. You know, 3 o'clock in the morning, the dogs were barking. So, it's not pleasant to be a dog, because then you can't sleep nicely. So So I guess that answers the question. We should greet the deities. So thank you very much. All glories to His divine grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Jai, Shri Gauranathai, Gauranathai, Ki Jai. Govinda, Adi Purusham, Tamaham, Vajami. Govindam Purusham Govindam Hare Purusham Om Bhajami Govindam Hare Purusham Om Bhajami Venam Kananta Maravinda Dalaya Daksham Avatam Sundarangam Anda Kotita Maniya Vishesha Sova Jai, Radha Gulasbi Hare, Radha Gulasbi Hare, Ki Jai. Jai Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman. Mm-hmm. bhavarishesha alok pravesha vijayane udati eva.
Oh,
Vasudharasa Krishna Jasa Prakto Vajjana Manna Mola Sutada Satishi Shima.